Hey everybody, welcome back to Wins, Weirds, and Wows. My name is Brooke Ray, and this is a brand new episode format for you guys. As you can tell this week, over here at Nebula Media, we are definitely trying out some experimental content to see what sticks for you guys. So if you like this type of content, leave a like, leave a comment, show some love, and it will stay around. In this format of Wins, Weirds, and Wows, we are moving away from silly and heartwarming stories and moving towards some nerdy stuff. I don't know about you, but I love video games, play a lot of D&D. So, yeah, I figured I'd just share some of this stuff with you guys if I'm already in the business of doing news. To start, we are going to be talking about the State of Play that just came out. That was the stream from a few weeks ago, as well as some of the fresh unearthed Arcana stuff. They made a bunch of changes to arcane classes. So yeah, let's go ahead and get started. I am so excited. Sony's State of Play opened with Housemarque's new game Sorrows, and it's already shaping up to be the next big bullet hell obsession. The gameplay slice showed really fast and chaotic combat with a lot of shield mechanics and revive systems that really do feel like a good oh shit button, which is really going to matter for people who bounced off Returnal's brutal loop. It's set for release on March 20th, 2026, and yes, they confirmed enhancements for PS5 Pro. From there, we saw some of Marvel Wolverine in actual combat situations. The tone was definitely cinematic, but grounded, with Liam McIntyre confirmed as the voice for Logan, and the fall 2026 release window makes it clear that this is a long-term bet and not just a quick cash-in. What stood out to me is how readable the fights looked. The claws and grit were definitely there and did not get lost in flashy camera work. The middle of the presentation stacked up release dates, honestly kind of like a giant calendar dump. Neo launches February 6, 2026. Code Vein 2 drops January 30th, 2026. And Dynasty Warriors 3 Remastered is due on March 19th, 2026. They even pulled Deus Ex Remastered out of the vault, which feels like Sony is making sure the nostalgia crowd is fed just as much. The surprise of the night, though, was actually that Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 is coming to PS5. And it is absolutely a marvel. They are going full in with the DualSense triggers and all that. And they're going even further. And in 2026, they will be releasing a free update that provides support for the PSVR 2. Moving on, Gran Turismo 7 got its own spotlight with a Spec 3 update scheduled for December. They're adding new F1 circuits, more cars, and even data logging tools. This should keep sim faithfuls happy while reinforcing GT7's role as a long-term platform. Hardware rounded out things with Pulse's Elevate desktop speakers. They are built on planar magnetic drivers with PlayStation Link so that there is a low latency no matter what system you're using. Sony clearly is angling for a hybrid gamer who wants one audio setup, though the price and exact launch time are still up in the air. My overall takeaway from this State of Play is that it wasn't necessarily about the shock and awe. It was about anchoring 2026 with solid release dates and reminding us that the PlayStation ecosystem still has a bit of variety. Now, let's flip the table from consoles to dice. Wizards just released the Arcane updates for Unearthed Arcana, and it reworks 6 subclasses for the 2024 core rules. We've got Arcane Archer for fighters, Tattooed Warrior for monks, and the Wizard Schools of Conjuration, Enchantment, Necromancy, and Transmutation. The Arcane Archer just probably got the biggest glow up in years. Curving Shot now uses the same arrow instead of wasting ammo. This simplifies the flow only if your tables use mechanics like that. I know my table doesn't really fret about ammo and stuff like that. However, there is an even bigger update, and it's that the magical ammunition now lets you fire arrows that stick and create effects, like dropping darkness or creating utility zones. And honestly, that makes a subclass feel super useful outside of initiative order. It feels like a full toolkit, not just I kind of shoot with flavor. The tattooed warrior monk was redesigned into something that actually feels like its own identity. Most tattoos now grant unique abilities rather than just casting low-level spells. These tattoos still give you a cantrip, but they also add meaningful non-spell perks. Celestial tattoos let you spend focus points outside of combat, which makes monks feel alive during exploration scenes, too. Nature tattoos condense into swappable resistances, which keeps things simple, but really versatile. For the first time, this monk option feels honestly like a true martial mystical hybrid class that I am super excited to try. Conjurers got faster, with Benign Transposition moving to a bonus action and opening up more uses. That one change makes teleportation a tool that you reach for often instead of kind of just like a rare emergency button. Enchanter saw smaller adjustments, mainly clarification and smoother action economy, but it's still a buff because it makes charm and control play a little less fiddly. Necromancers, though, that's where it's at. They finally look like a subclass that I think all of us imagined. Find Familiar now summons a skeleton or a zombie. Grim Harvest can heal your undead instead of just you. Undead Thralls ties into Animate Dead with a lot of clear perks. Harvest Undead heals you when one of your minions drops, and Death's Master adds necrotic bursts when they fall. This is like such a cool reworking for what they've done, and it feels like your little bone dudes matter a lot more than just cannon fodder. Finally, Transmuters did get their stone fixed. It now grants Constitution save proficiency, which is huge, and it doubles as a spellcasting focus. Wondrous Alteration buffs Alter Self, Empowered Transmutation applies to all upcasts, Transmutation spells, and Potent Stone expands options. Shapechanger returns with a more polished self-polymorph rule, and Master Transmuter can protect your stone by spending a spell slot. Taken together, the Arcane UA is about flexibility and speed. The classes in many ways feel a bit easier to explain at the table, but definitely a lot more fun to play, to roleplay, and they still have a lot of the mechanical depth that people are seeking. If you want to playtest just one, I personally would start with the Necromancer. I'm really excited about those updates. Or maybe Arcane Archer if you're interested in like puzzle heavy one shots or stuff. So that is this week. Sony studies the 2026 calendar, and Wizards have experimented with making Arcane subclasses just a bit better. For me, Sorros is definitely a standout. I'm super excited to see how it plays more. I'm ready to get my hands on it. Same with Wolverine. I actually think those are probably a bit tied for me. And I really, really want to try Necromancer with the new Unearthed Arcana stuff. Drop a comment with your favorite State of Play trailer or the subclass you'd bring to a group first. And check the description below for links to all the sources so you can details for yourself. If you enjoyed this breakdown, hit the button. And if not, well, at least you got new subclasses to toy with. I will see you guys in the next one.